Chrysler, College View, Nebraska, September 16, 1904. My dear brother Clarence, I have this morning spoken in the church to a large audience from the first, second, and third chapters of Revelation. I had a message for the people, and it was an earnest warning to prepare to meet their Lord in the clouds of heaven, for he cometh with power and great glory. I tried to present before them the indifference of many in reference to the signs foretold by Christ, giving the evidence that the end of the world is right upon us. Were it not possible for us to advance and receive the grace of God, so that its effects upon us would be saving day by day, and the blessing of God bestowed be our strength, the apostle would not speak so decidedly and say, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. The grace of God is the price of watchfulness, and prayer in faith brings to every soul the blessing, rich and precious, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I greatly desire the Lord to work in behalf of Marian, but unless she will open the way for this, it will be useless to try. I hope a change will come and her life be spared, but as she is now, death would be a blessing. I am perplexed over the features of her case. I hardly know how to advise you what to do, but I will say, if she were resting in the grave, I would say, it is well with her soul. I wish to caution you not to confine yourself too closely to your writings or anything that will create nervousness. You need to be guarded and have regular hours of sleep. Do not keep up for the reception of the mail. Go to rest early. I have a great desire to return, but 2 weeks I have promised them in Battle Creek, and I shall fulfill my promise if the Lord permits. I was very feeble in Philadelphia. I could not see how I was to speak in one tent in our locality and in another tent in another part of the city, but the Lord certainly would not leave me to human inability. I was thankful to speak to them. I was so thankful the Lord sustained me. Then, when the contribution was taken up, our ministering brethren were so pleased to receive $10. They usually had taken only $2.50, but this encouraged them so much, I was greatly pleased. The second tent was miles from the first tent. I felt so weak and feared some when the time came. We found the tent full of interested hearers. I was indeed weak. My limbs seemed unable to sustain me, and I thought I would present some easy subject of experience, simple truth. But I was on a wrong track and had to take up the first three chapters of Revelation, and here I was greatly blessed. I felt strength come into every nerve, and my message was clear and solemn and impressive. Not only did the blessing come upon me, but upon the ministers who were engaged in this tent effort, and the whole congregation seemed to recognize the power of God upon me. From that time, I have been gaining. I attempted to improve the opportunity to take treatment in the Melrose Sanitarium, but it only made me exceedingly weak. I have spoken in the sanitarium and in the tent 5 times, and those laboring there were greatly helped, and Brother Place and the Mr. Wheeler connected with him assured me that the blessing of God was sensibly realized by the congregation. A revival effort commenced, and has been continued since. Souls have been seeking the Lord, and conversions to the truth have made their hearts glad. I had an intense interest that the Lord would come in. Melrose is a favorable place to do good among the surrounding towns and villages. Boston must be worked. We left Melrose to attend camp meeting in Connecticut, the place where my husband and I went, from Topsham to Dorchester, and from Dorchester to Middletown, and spent some time with Colonel Chamberlain's family. Then we were called to Rocky Hill and remained there some time. This was in 1847. The present truth was written in Rocky Hill and sent out from Middletown to the few people. This was the first paper published among our people. I spoke on Sabbath to a goodly company of intelligent believers and unbelievers. After the meeting, which was much appreciated, on the Sabbath our ministering brethren began to talk unbelief. I told them this was not right. We had had our excellent meeting and should have increased faith. They said the old blue laws of Connecticut would be rigorously worked to keep people away on Sunday. But the good-sized meeting tent was full, and I was glad to see them several times having to bring in chairs and extra seats until the whole space under the tent was full and seats were placed just outside the tent to increase seating capacity. I spoke in afternoon, and there was decided interest manifested. I felt glad I had come to Middletown. The Lord may give us some souls in that place. Next Monday, 4 noon, I spoke again, and then we had to leave in the afternoon for Springfield. At Springfield, we changed cars for Battle Creek, and I'm glad that I had opportunity to speak to parents and the guests the next morning, and then the next morning to the workers. A large number were present, and Dr. Kellogg spoke some words of confession, and then the request was, would I speak in the tabernacle at 1 o'clock to all who would come? I said I would, expecting to meet about 200 people, for it was a hasty call and an unusual hour. When I came into the pulpit, lo, there was before me a house nearly as crowded as at the last general conference. I was informed there were 2,500 people. I spoke to them for 1 hour and a half. Before I commenced speaking, the question was asked me by Jones, would I remain over Sabbath and speak in the church? He pressed and begged me to remain, and the appointment was given out. But W.C. White came that night and assured me it would not do, for a large number were at Omaha waiting for me to come to be with them the last Sabbath and Sunday of the camp meeting. I then begged off, saying I would come back from College View meeting and spend 2 weeks if they would let me go. Well, they did let me go, and now I am to go for a 2 weeks meeting at Battle Creek after the close of this meeting. At Omaha, there were about 2,000 people on the ground. I spoke to the people 3 times. I believe that meeting will result in much good. Now I have spoken 2x here and shall speak 7 times if the Lord will strengthen me, then go on my way to Battle Creek. This is the first letter written to you by my own hand since we parted. I will now charge you to make no reference to the bookwork if you see it creates nervousness. Marion has made a grave mistake to her injury. I am sorry. I thought and continue to think my judgment right in limiting the number of pages and not keep her mind on a strain, but the evil has come. I pray for her that the Lord will help her to control her nerves, and I hope she will endeavor to do this. Let me hear if any change for worse or better takes place. If her sister helps her in any way, I shall be so thankful. May the Lord bless Sister Kellogg. I hope all of you will make changes in getting as much as possible in the open air. I will now say, God keep and bless you all is my most earnest prayer.